please don't take this wrong, but I said to Scott, I am tired of talking. I led a training yesterday from 8 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon, and it was just a lot of talking. So, sorry to say that doesn't mean that your sermon will be abbreviated this morning. I am so glad to be worshiping with you, and I don't know if we have anybody in the parking lot today, but if you are out there, welcome. We are glad that you are here. We're glad that you're here in here as well, and those of you that are listening to this service online or will be, we do appreciate you checking us out. This morning as we gather, I want to open with a song of ascents of David. This is ascending praise, if you will, from the Psalms. And this comes from Psalm 124, and I'm just going to read, I'm going to read all the verses, all 8 verses. It says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. As I read those words, I think about the fact, you know, we're in an unprecedented time, and if there was ever a word that was more used and overused in our time, I think it's the word unprecedented, right? But the reality is every single day is unprecedented. There has never been a September 26, 2021 before. Never. I've never been as old as I am right now. And you think about that, and then you say, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. God, who is in control of all creation from the very beginning until heaven and earth are created anew again. The same God is the same yesterday, today, and even then. And that's the God that we trust in. That's the God that we come to worship. That's the God that we lift up our prayers to and our praises to. So with that, let us lift up our voices in praise to God as we worship together.
Psalm 124 said, bless you. Bless your name. Bless you for being the same God day after day, forever and ever. We're grateful that you are on our side. Help us to learn more about you today so that we can have you on our side every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It's time for praise songs. You may stand if you would like. We'll start with Now I Belong to Jesus, number 501.
Consider all
The Heart of Worship, it's in your bulletin if you need the words up close and personal.
Thank goodness for us.
Or they're up here beautifully displayed on our lovely high-definition screen.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the Heart of Worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it, when it's all about you. All about you, Jesus, King of endless worth. No one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the Heart of Worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Seated. Are you ready, Lance?
I'm just getting my glasses done, Fog. It's one of those temperatures today that just messes with your glasses. Excellent. So today's message is titled, Let the Children Come. And the theme is Jesus loves and welcomes all the children. And the scripture today comes from Mark 10, 2 through 16. So, how did you get to church this morning? This is applying to the kids. Think about that. or even maybe some of you came with maybe a friend. And if you were a kid, maybe you came with a parent. Most of you probably didn't drive if you're a kid. You probably had to have a parent drive you. There's no kids here that are of driving age, right? Jet, up. Miss you, buddy, because you're not here. So some kids may have come with cousins, aunts, or even older brothers and sisters. Or maybe even a friend or a Sunday school teacher may have brought you to church today. One thing is, I'm pretty sure unless you live close enough to walk to church, you had to have somebody bring you here. I don't think, oh, there we go, there's the piece about the car, you weren't old enough to drive yet. I didn't think so about that part. So it's great that someone has cared enough about you to bring you to church today. That tells me the person wanted to make sure you would learn about Jesus and his love for you. The Bible tells us about a time when Jesus was teaching his disciples, and there was a very large crowd, and other people were following him too, and they wanted to get close to him and hear what he was saying. As Jesus was teaching, the people started bringing their children to him so they could get close to him and just even touch him. The disciples didn't like this, that the children were interrupting Jesus, and they told the children to stay back and stay away. Well, what do you think Jesus said to that? Yeah. What do you think the disciples were trying to, why do you think the disciples were trying to make the kids leave? And Jesus became very upset. And he said this, "Let the children come to me. Do not stop them. The kingdom of heaven belongs to these little ones." Then Jesus took the children in his arms, and he blessed them. Let us always remember how Jesus loved the children and took them into his loving arms. We're thankful for each of you that are here today, and thankful that somebody loved you enough to bring you. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we want to love your children just as you love them. Thank you for these children that are here today and or may be listening, that somebody cared enough to share this message with them and bring them to church. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to plug that in. As we come to, yeah, go ahead, Lance. I couldn't see where the cord was, so I thought, well, I'm not going to sit down here and squirm. There we go. Let your light shine bright. For those of you listening, we have a cross that has lights on it, and the lights weren't lit up yet. We are in the midst of a sermon series, and we have been celebrating, if you will, our marks. And we've been going through, people have said when we take a survey, nobody ever tells us what the survey said, and we don't know, we never do anything with it. So I'm trying to do something with it and just kind of share with you some of what we're seeing and what we're doing. So this is Check Your Vitals, Vital Congregations, pun intended. Check your vitals. Make sure that we're alive. And we have so much to celebrate here at Mission Woods. So as I said, we've been looking at our results. And, you know, the church in itself has it's an interesting organization when we think about it. Because the church, and I'm not speaking of just Mission Woods Church. I'm talking about the global church. When we talk about the church's primary call is to those that are not a part of it. The church's existence is really for those that aren't a part of it, to be going out and bringing them in. One could contend that it's the only organization that exists for those that don't belong to it. Kind of an interesting thought. Last week, we looked at the marks of lifelong discipleship formation and intentional, authentic evangelism. And today, we're going to look at two more marks. We're going to look at the marks of an outward, incarnational focus and empowering servant leadership. So as we do that, we're going to take a moment to pray, and then I'm going to invite Drew up to share our scripture for this morning. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, sovereign God, gracious Lord, empowering Spirit, we invite you to come. Come to your people gathered here this day. We come as your people, as needy people. We need your healing touch. We need your inspiring word. We need you. So we have gathered and we wait. We listen. And we do so expectantly. Lord, speak, for your servants are listening. Open your word to our hearts and minds. We come ready to be challenged, ready to be moved, ready to be called to action. We come and we lay our burdens down to accept and take up the cross that you have for us. We come in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to call upon Drew to come up. I like to refer to him as our reader in residence. I'd like to invite Drew to come on up and read our scripture this morning. Drew?
Reading from Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. These are the words of our Lord.
Thank you, Drew. Well, you may recognize that text. I preached on it just a few months ago earlier this summer in June. And when we were discussing that, we were discussing our mission as a church, Mission Woods Presbyterian Church. We talked about our elders choosing to recognize ourselves as a Matthew 25 church and what that means. So I wanted to show you from our denomination's website that this is what they say regarding what a Matthew 25 church is. Matthew 25, 31 through 46, the scriptures we just read, or Drew just read for us, calls all of us to actively engage in the world around us. So our faith comes alive and we wake up to new possibilities. Convicted by this passage, both the 222nd and the 223rd General Assemblies, 2016 and 2018, exhorted the PCUSA, our denomination, to act boldly and compassionately to serve people who are hungry, oppressed, imprisoned, or poor. Some have said, how can a little... Now, some have actually said this about their church, and I think we could say it about ours. How can a little church like Mission Woods do that? I want to share with you a story. There's a story of a man who's taking a walk on the beach after a major storm. The seas had grown rough, and they'd thrown all kinds of debris up on the shore. And as he walked, he couldn't help but notice how the storm had brought thousands, perhaps even millions, of starfish and dropped them on the shore as the tide began to recede and move out again. As he walked there in the distance, he could see something running up the shore and then back towards the water and up to the shore and back towards the water, a small figure, perhaps a mile ahead. And he couldn't quite make out what it was or who it might be as the gray clouds gave way to the morning sun. And as he walked and he got closer, he could see that it was a person. In fact, it wasn't a person, it was a boy. Well, a boy is a person, but it was a young person. And the boy was scurrying almost frantically up and down the shore from the shore to the water and shore to the water. And he watched as the boy continued up the beach and down and up and down. And he could now tell that every trip the boy was throwing some object into the sea. Finally, he was close enough to see what the boy was throwing. With each trip, the boy would pick up a starfish and then run down to the sea and hurl it as far as he could into the water. Smiling, the man approached the boy, and he asked, "What are you doing?" Winded, after all those trips, I can imagine, the boy said, "I'm throwing the starfish back into the ocean." Chuckling, the man said, "There are thousands of starfish all up and down the shore. What difference do you really think you'll make?" The boy stopped in his tracks with the starfish in hand. He looked him in the eye and said, "It makes a difference to this one." And he hurled it into the water and returned to his task. You don't have to be a congregation of thousands or hundreds to make a difference, to make a major difference in the life of an individual or in a community. As we're looking at our marks, our seven marks of vital congregations, these were our scores for outward incarnational focus. I don't know if you can read it. It says, outward exploration and awareness, as well as focus on neighbors, neighborhoods, and those who may never step foot in the church. Are your worshipers being Jesus out in the world? Below, you'll find your congregation's responses to each of the individual questions that were used to calculate the discipleship score, as well as what that score is. And our score was 66% compared to 76% of how other churches may have scored. Now realize that one or two people, because of our sample size, some of the churches were much larger, each individual makes a pretty big swing in our score, but that's okay. We go on and we look a little bit more, and it says 92% of you said that this church responds to the needs of people outside the church somewhat or quite well. 92%. 64% said that we did this quite well. I believe that's true. Our treasure chest right now is full again. Right now it's got notebooks in it and some toys of some sort. I think the reason we know this about our church, that we do this well, is because we no doubt know of the efforts we've made supporting our food bank, St. Francis House, our schools, and in praying for those in our community that have needs. And we work to be aware of those needs in our community. The food bank has said that our church is by far the greatest contributor among churches in the area. Mission Woods Church. I like to say we may be small, but we're mighty. Clearly, there's more work to be done, but just look around you and be aware of it. And then we can continue to do that. We go on and we look at some of this. Others, 73% recognize that as a church, we are working to alleviate suffering and eliminate its cause. But then when we look at emphasizing mission over self-preservation, this bottom score, it's literally kind of 50-50. 50% said, well, it's somewhat true or not true, and 50% said it's true or very true. So we're kind of divided on that idea. In our passage that Drew read for us today, both groups of people, the one denied entry into the kingdom and the one that was invited to enter, they asked the exact same question. When did we see you? When did we see you? The verse reads, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And then Jesus answered, we know it very well. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. That's powerful. I also want to share to spend some time here reflecting on our church leadership. We had our outward incarnational focus and empower servant leadership. As we do that, this is not the right thing. So we're going to look at that. Here's our scores for empowering servant leadership. Our score is on par with our denomination. We're right there within 1%. But I also think that we need to be mindful that we took this survey. Other churches may not have taken this because this Vital Congregations has been going on for, I think it's been around for about 6 or 7 years. And so a lot of these scores were done in a time that they were not shut down by a pandemic. Our scores were determined in June, which we were right in the middle of the pandemic and we were standing out there or sitting out there in our parking lot. And so I think that's important to look at. As we continue on, cultivating spiritual gifts, 72% said we help members contribute to the life of the church. 67% said that we help you find your God-given gifts. Now, if you need help with that, I want to help. If you need help with that, there are people in this church that are more than willing to help sit down with you and help you discover what your God-given gifts are. So let's talk. 65% said you felt involved in the planning or leading of activities. Well, trust me when I say we want you to be involved. More than half of you are involved beyond worship. Now, when it talked about modeling servant leadership, I was proud to see the way that you see the leaders in this church. 86% said that staff and leaders model humility. So when I say I was proud, I don't know if that lowers our score. I didn't mean to do that, so I apologize to our session and to our deacons and leaders in this church. But you see that it says that our leaders are open to suggestions, and I was very much affirmed when 86% said that the clergy of this congregation is well matched. So I appreciate that. Yet I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Leadership isn't always done from up front. It's done from the back. It's done from in the middle. If you think about our church, We don't have a major paid staff. I mean, I know churches that have a paid financial secretary, and they've got their administrator, and they've got a church secretary. The pastor has his own secretary, and I mean, and on and on and on, and it's a big staff, and they're not a whole lot bigger. They are bigger, but they're you know, just a couple hundred people. That's a lot of staff. But you know what comes with a lot of paid staff? The idea that that's their job to do. And when we don't have a lot of paid staff, the great thing is that we realize it's all our job. Much of the ministry we do is done by non-paid, volunteer people like you, seeing a need, having an idea, getting the information, sharing your idea, inviting others to join you, and watching it grow. Both the righteous and the cursed in our scripture reading asked, "When did we see you?" Now, I want us all to take the time, seriously, to pray and ask the Lord to open our eyes to see what is around us, see the hungry and the thirsty, see the stranger and make them feel welcome, see the naked and clothe them, see the sick and the imprisoned and visit them. And I would add to see the person struggling for hope and share with them the hope that you find in Jesus Christ. When you drive through our community, when you turn on the news, when you listen to the radio, what do you see? What do you hear? What difference can you make? The truth is that you can make a difference, but you have to choose to act. You've got to make that choice that you're going to act. I'm not trying to shame you into doing this at all. I'm trying to encourage you in it. I want to close with the story of a young man, a junior in high school, who saw something and chose to make a difference. This young man was 16 years of age, and he was enjoying life. And one Sunday at church, he learned about kids in Africa where some schools had been established, but these kids couldn't go to school because they didn't have shoes. That's all he heard. He didn't think much of it. The next morning, as he got ready for school and packed his backpack with his basketball gear because he was to have basketball practice that afternoon, he noticed how many retired basketball shoes he had in the back of his closet. His mind shot back to those kids that couldn't go to school because they didn't have shoes. And he thought, I've got so many, and they have plenty of wear left in them. So he started thinking about, how might I get those shoes to those kids in Africa? He shared the idea with his teammates and his church youth group and thought he could surely come up with 100 or more pairs that they would figure out a way with their youth leader to send to Africa to the kids in that village so that they could go to school. They, in turn, shared the idea with the rest of the school, and the youth group shared it with the rest of his church. And in no time, his parents' garage was filled with shoes of every size. They filled an entire shipping container with shoes for children in Africa to go to school. The local newspaper caught wind of it, and they wrote a story about it and what was going on. And from there, the local news channel picked it up. More shoes kept coming. Money began to pour in to help with the shipping, and an international ministry was born. Why? Because a 16-year-old boy who played basketball saw kids who needed shoes. And all they wanted to do was go to school. That ministry continues because one boy, I have no idea how old he is now. I actually heard the story from his youth pastor. But he got this idea, and he just shared it. Didn't know how it was going to come to fruition. He shared the story. People caught the vision. People joined in. And a ministry was born. I have been blessed as your pastor to hear so many stories of you seeing people in your community. The homeless person at the end of the block. The hungry standing in line at the food bank. The lost person who just needs somebody, anybody, to sit and listen to their story. You are ministers in your community. You are leaders in our community. You are servants in our community. My prayer for all of us is, Lord, let us see with your eyes. Lord, let us hear with your ears. Lord, let us love with your heart. Lord, let us serve with your hands. And when the Lord asked, as he did Isaiah, whom shall I send and who will go for me? May we all respond as Isaiah did. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Let's pray. God, I want to pray for all of us. I ask that you would give us your eyes to see, your ears to hear, your heart to love, and your hands to serve. Lord, I think of Paul the apostle when he said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. There's that idea, Lord, in that passage that we have to die to ourselves that we might give to others. God, help us with that. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see what you would have us see and act. Lord, open our eyes to see what you are doing in our community and have the courage to join you. God, we give you the praise. Amen.
It's time to, sorry, mask fuzz. Time to spend some time thinking about the things that Pastor John shared. How can we give of ourselves, not just monetarily, but in other ways? And we'll be singing for you. The doxology is our prayer for our time of offering. Please stand if you're able.
God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You may be seated.
As we come to the prayers of the people, I invite you to open up your bulletin, and there's a list of people there, and we have praises, we have concerns, and we have a pen in the pulpit, so I can write down more joys and concerns. If you have a joy that you'd like to share, I'd invite you to share that now. Does anybody have a joy that they'd like to share that is not in the bulletin currently? Yes, Rita.
I do. So my daughter, Allie, is working on her PhD at Purdue. She has passed her preliminaries for her PhD, and she is currently in Sweden. She is going to be part of learning survival techniques because she is an alternate to go to Antarctica to further her studies down there. She's interested in glaciology,
did you say? Okay. Wow. Can I just say I'm jealous? I always really wanted to go to Antarctica. I don't know why that's something that I want to do, but it is something I want to do. I have a dream to be on all seven continents by the time I'm 70.
She's an alternate, so something would have to happen to the people already chosen, but just to be an alternate
is
amazing.
That is amazing. Well, Sweden's a beautiful country, too. Yes, Elizabeth.
I have a praise. I had a loss of a bill pull last weekend at the kiosk at BCU, and it had $1,000 in it for all my IT.
I'm sorry, I did not hear that.
I lost my bill pull last Sunday.
Oh, no. Thank you. So I know that not everybody heard that, and I'm going to repeat it in abbreviated form. So Elizabeth lost her billfold, and she was, as most of us would be, fretting. There was a large sum of money in it, $1,000, and all of her ID and credit cards, etc. And she went back, retracing her steps, couldn't find it. When she got home, she had said a prayer that her billfold would be found, and lo and behold, somebody was knocking at her door about an hour later to and asked, "Are you Elizabeth?" She said, "Yes, I am." and they handed her her billfold. And so just the joy she had in getting her billfold back, but also the joy they had in giving it to them. So did I get that all right? Very good. All right. So now our listeners online and those in the parking lot have heard it as well. Any other joys that we have? That's a great one. I don't know if we can top that one. Here we go. Yay. Grandparents. Yay. Congratulations. Good to hear that. So Joyce and Daryl are grandparents. We will celebrate with you. Anything else for Joyce? Do we have concerns to be shared? Yes.
Just an update on my neighbors, Dwight and Cornelia. Dwight is not doing well at all. He's down to 130 pounds. Alzheimer's is progressing. The leg is, infection is worsening. So he is going to move into full-time hospice care. So prayers for peace and comfort and the proper care for them both.
Thank you for that update on Dwight and Cornelia, and that on one hand, we're sorry that the Alzheimer's is progressing. On the other hand, we're also thankful for things like hospice care that can help the transition time. And I just give praise to those people that work in that that profession, because they really do bring I can't think of the word, dignity to that process. Any other concerns that we can be praying for? Okay, let's go to God. There's plenty in our bulletin, and let's go to God and pray. Lord God, what a joy it is to know that you invite us to come into your presence, to come and, as heavy laden as we may be, with concerns for things around us, for family, as exuberant as we might be with our joys that might to some people seem odd, that you invite us to come and share it all with you. You invite us to come into your throne room and talk to you, to talk to Daddy and share what's going on in our lives. God, we pray for a prayer of praise for Steve, as he is now home from the hospital where he was being treated for COVID. Still on oxygen, Lord, and still weak. So we pray for his continued healing, but we rejoice that he's home. We praise you that Janice was able to be in worship with us last week, and she's returning to health. We give you praise for Allie and all the experiences that she's having as she is working on her PhD to be able to go to Sweden and do this training, as she's an alternate to go to Antarctica and do studies there. God, we pray that you would be with her, and I just thank you that her family and us now get to enjoy and celebrate that. And Lord, we pray for give you a prayer of praise for Elizabeth and being able to find her billfold, have it returned to her, and the finances as well, that $1,000 that was in there, that would be difficult to lose. And God, we especially thank you for new life. And we join Joyce and Daryl in celebrating the birth of their grandchild, and we pray that you would be with them and bring lots of years of happiness as they watch that child grow. And I pray that that child would grow and come to know you in a very real way. God, we lift up to you the family of Patty Sandsaver, as she was called home, surrounded by family. So we pray for those and extended family as they grieve her death. We continue to pray for Wilma from that COVID outbreak. Lord, we continue to ask for your protection for her. We pray for all those that are suffering from COVID. We think of those that have lost friends from COVID and family from COVID. We think of Pastor Wendy. We think of Renee. And we pray for others that are struggling with issues surrounding COVID. We pray for those that are under hospice care. We think of Bob. We pray for mercy and peace for him and his family. We think of Bill as he is under hospice care. For Dwight as well, as he is now under hospice care. And we pray just for your protection for them. We pray that these last chapter or chapters would be fruitful ones, Lord. Prepare them, prepare their families. We pray for Kirk as he undergoes chemo for stage 3 stomach cancer and the follow-up that he'll need to have. We continue to pray for the Lawson family as and for Steve's uncle, Donnie. Pray for healing there. Last I heard, he was doing much better, and God, we rejoice with that. We pray for Rita. We pray for Linda as they're dealing with health issues and ask that you would be with them. And God, we continue to pray for Ruth as she travels and spends some time away this month with her son Alex's family in California. Just be with her and guide her. And God, we think of our brothers and sisters that have had long-term needs, and we haven't mentioned them in a while. We think of Ruth and Gary and Tandy. We think of Virginia and Laura. We think of those that are having issues with their eyes. We think of Poppy and Joanne. God, we think of just all of these people that are, they've been on our list for a long time, but it does not mean that we cease to pray for them. We lift up to you, Jean and Christy, for Wyatt and Sean. Lord, we pray for those that are in assisted living. We think of Helen, Dawn, Stan and Evelyn, and now Ruth as well. God, we just pray that they would be kept safe, be kept healthy. God, we thank you that we could spend all day praying here, and yet you gave us a prayer that can cover all our prayers. So we pray as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Few announcements to make here. Carrie's going to come up. I'm going to actually have Carrie share the first one. Just share your announcement. You'll be up first.
Okay. All right. I guess
I don't know if it's... Is it up? Is it in the announcements?
Yeah. Everything's here. So we got... There we go. We can go to Bible study, too. So our Bible study, we just invite you to join us. We're meeting on Zoom. You're welcome to call in or join us with Zoom. We start at 6 p.m., and people join as they can. And we're studying 1 Peter. We just did chapter 3. So we've been taking a chapter, a session, and it's been really a wonderful time. Just sharing with each other, being able to just glean from God's word and spend that time in the presence of the Spirit. So it's a blessing for all who join. And so we just invite you to be with us. You can ask myself or Lance about how to access that. We can send you the email with the link to join us and study. So we're doing 1 Peter, and then we're going to move to 2 Peter. So finish it all up. And then, so I am the clerk of sessions, so I do have the privilege of being able to attend all our session meetings because I have to take all the notes. And in session, we were talking about, you know, I think it's really important to be able to share with the congregation what our session is doing. And there's a lot that our church does, and we make decisions, and we want to let you know about those. So our first exciting one is that we are going to be participating in Operation Christmas Child this year. And so just continuing the legacy that Carolyn has started in providing these shoeboxes for children all over the world. And so we want to continue to do that. So we have coming in the mail, we have a stand that's coming, and we have shoeboxes coming as well. And you can purchase yourself, or you can make a checkout designated for our Elf Squad to be able to do some shopping as well. So we're very excited to be able to participate in that. And the collection date is somewhere in November. So more to come on that. And through the year, we do have things that were budgeted in our budget for supporting missions. And our local mission support does go to Soundview Camp. Our church has had a long history of support for Soundview, who reaches youth and children and teens through their summer camp ministry. And now this has grown into educational camp for school districts, as well as being able to go to the site and camp with your family. So much is going on with that and trying to keep it alive. And so our church has continued to support Mission Wood support for Soundview. And we have a budget, and we've paid that $1,200 for our local mission ministry. And then Life Bloom Services International. If you recall, several years ago, we had Kathleen Carpenter and Erica Carpenter went to Africa, where they helped women who are in need to make sanitary pads. And so this is a global mission. And they make these pads and, you know, provide them to individuals. Life Bloom also does other things. We had been reached out. Heather James, Reverend Heather James, had reached out to us and Life Bloom to see if we couldn't help contribute to their mission. And so we decided, you know what, this is really important. And we can provide help. So we donated $500. And their vision, Life Bloom, sees a world where women, girls, and children who are survivors of abuse and exploitation transform to become dignified leaders. And their mission, Life Bloom, is a strength-based transformational program utilizing peer mentors and healing relationships to invite women, girls, and children to move from victim to whole life health. So there's a lot of things this organization does that's good for their community. And when you educate and help women, then that affects and benefits the whole community. So we give praise that our church is able to have the funds to be able to help with that. And thanks to all of you, we were able to do that. So we give praise for that. I'll go to the work party. So we do have a work party coming up this fall. We'll be taking care of some things outside. So please give us some feedback. Date to be determined in October. We can contact Scott about that. So we just have some tidying to do. We have some more bark outside. And we have work to do. So that's to come. So, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie. I appreciate you doing that. Before we get to the parting hymn, I some people read through their entire bulletin. Not everybody does. So I want to remind you that in our bulletin, it says something has gone AWOL. Our steam cleaner seems to be missing. So if you borrowed it sometime this year, if you could return it, that allows us to not have to spend money to get another steam cleaner. So if you borrowed our steam cleaner to remove a spot or If you moved it and we're just not finding it, you could let us know that too. This is Birthday Sunday, so after our hymn, we will also sing Happy Birthday. So with that, I'm going to invite our worship team up.
Please stand if you're able. We're going to sing Take the Name of Jesus with You. September birthdays. We'll even celebrate anniversaries, too, because Scott and Veronica had one yesterday.
That's right.
So we are celebrating Robin Paris-Young, Cassie Sadowski, Joanne Schirkenbach, Jim Yielding, and anyone else who hasn't told us it was their birthday in September. So let's sing Happy Birthday and God Bless Them.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond all we can ask or even imagine, to him be all glory, honor, and praise in your lives and in the church. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.